So as we go now to our friend Betsy Brandner Smith, who is with the National Police Association, but a real rational voice who I just adore you, Betsy, and you put things in such perspective. But I think for all of us across the nation, we just want to say thank you for your service and thank you for keeping us safe. And I have to say, last night, a couple of times I got up in the night and I just, made sure the security cameras were on. And I do think we're all being a little more, top of mind with what's happening. You can't help it.
Well, you can't, Don, and thank you so much. I did the same thing. I live very close to the southern border, and what we have seen, for example, out of Lukeville, Arizona, not too far away from Tucson, where I live, where we are seeing these tent cities set up, unfortunately, by our federal government, and it's primarily military age men, so many that say that they're from the Middle East, and we do not know who is in this country. We do not know who is pouring into this country, and so here we are, 22 years after 9/11/01, where we are being reminded of the atrocities that radical Islam is capable of. And law enforcement around this country is being reminded. Unfortunately, a lot of our law enforcement officers barely remember 9/11/01. The vast majority of them weren't on the job. They were young. I used to teach terrorism awareness for patrol officers. So now, as we are seeing, my friends around the country are telling me that they are talking about this in the roll call room, in the staff meetings, and we are being reminded that it's not just our synagogues that we need to keep an eye on and our Jewish schools and Jewish community centers, but really any large gathering. They're also keeping their ear to the ground when it comes to chatter and intelligence. And, what we didn't have on 9/11/01 was the proliferation of social media that we have now, which is helpful, when it comes to gathering intelligence. But you're also seeing this pro-Hamas, these incredible demonstrations on college campuses, and young people are getting very much sucked into this pro-Hamas stuff without really understanding what is really happening. And so it's going to be a challenge, and everyone really needs to stay aware, stay alert. And like you said, and I know it sounds cliche to everybody, but if you see something, say something, because it could be anything from a lone wolf attacker, some nut with a gun who wants to walk into a Jewish school, to a larger scale attack as we move into the holidays and all of that. The Friday the 13th has been, there's all this, we've read all this, that there's a potential for a global day of jihad, and people need to understand what jihad means. And again, I can't emphasize enough, people in this country have got to understand that as much as we revere life, a jihadist reveres death. They do not think like we do. Mm-hmm. That's why people look at these videos and they say, how could they do this? How could they be this brutal? Because they are not like us. And we have got to just accept that. We can no longer say, this is about some property and some settlements and things like that. This goes far beyond any of that. And we were reminded on 9/11/01, and I hope, and unfortunately Israel was reminded again, and I hope it doesn't come here, but we have to be ready.
Yeah. And I think that was to your point, there was they're saying he was a former Hamas leader and he was calling for this day of jihad tomorrow, Friday the 13th, and saying all Muslims should take to the streets in protest against Israel. And so how real is that? I mean, obviously for law enforcement across the country, you don't have a choice, right? In the law enforcement community, mm-hmm. when somebody unfortunately makes a statement like that, and to your point, when it goes viral, law enforcement has no choice at every level to say, all right, we're all heightened. Sorry for your weekend plans. But I mean, here in Philadelphia, we're relatively short staffed. So what this means is longer shifts, 12-hour shifts, et cetera. I mean, take me through from the viewpoint of law enforcement, how this looks when you have that real statement that's being made and then the reaction that's positive on social media. That's disturbing too.
Well, first and foremost, Dawn, we cannot forget that for the last 3 years, the American law enforcement officer has been demonized and yeah. vilified and defunded. And we hear calls for you must demilitarize our police officers. Why do they need AR-15s? Why do they need a magazine with more than 10 rounds in it? Now, people are being reminded yeah. why. So, unfortunately, right now, at a time when 9 out of every 10 police departments is short staffed, and the younger cops that we have on the job, they are very different. And we've had a difficulty in recruiting new police officers. This is why we like to recruit police officers from our pool of military veterans. And I think what is going to be different right now, what this is going to look like for law enforcement is, of course, you're going to have double shifts. You're going to have canceled days off. You're going to have a resurgence in discussing the intelligence that we have out there and what a radical Islamic operator or attack might look like locally. There's also, I think, going to be a dependence on our citizens to assist us with additional information and also to be prepared to protect themselves. And of course, that's a very regional situation depending on where you live. But one of the things that is very common, especially in New York, but also around the nation, Jewish people of the Jewish faith, they're very strong in their belief in the Second Amendment. They know because this has been the reality of not just them, but their ancestors. Mm-hmm. They know that they must be able to protect themselves. They tend to be quite prepared. And you know, that's the thing. The National Police Association, we believe strongly in a citizen's right to protect themselves. We do not believe that cops can be everywhere at once. We know that. We accept that. And so we're hoping that our citizens will be prepared as well. Again, I know they're difficult to watch,
yeah.
but I think everyone needs to watch those videos of the terrorists in lovely suburban neighborhoods mm-hmm. Going door to door to door. Why do you need an AR-15? That's why.
Yeah.
And,
well, to your,
you know, people need to understand, you know, go ahead.
No, I mean, to your point, when I was watching this, I thought the same thing you did, that, well, you know, and for a hot minute, you know, we in America, I'll just say we and especially young people take for granted that not everybody in the world has the rights we do or the Constitution that we do. And in fact, we are really the only ones. We are so unique in the world. And that's why it's so important to celebrate our constitutional rights and to celebrate our not just First Amendment rights, but our Second Amendment rights. Now, I did see yesterday and this morning, within the past few days, Israel, Betsy, had lightened up and mm-hmm. lessened some of its, because they have some pretty strict gun rules. Now they're realizing, and I think as long as somebody goes through a tough, strict permitting process, I suspect that they'll allow more homeowners some kind of self-protection in the home. Because these people, they had, I mean, to my knowledge, none of them were armed or had any kind of rifle in the house, nothing to try to defend themselves against armed terrorists.
Right. Only the there were military veterans and military reservists and current military that did have weapons in their homes. And you're right. You know, the United States is unique. About 60% of our population owns a firearm. But I would encourage everyone who is thinking, oh, boy, you know, I need to think about this. If you have, you know, granddaddy's pistol in your underwear drawer, now I don't want you to feel secure about that. Now is the time to get that out, get some ammunition, take it to the range. Owning a firearm is not enough. You have to be proficient with that for your own safety and the safety of your family, first and foremost. But then if you want to mm-hmm. be able to use that in the defense of your life. So there's that. But we are unique in that, you know, we do have about 450 million guns in this country. And I think that now is the time where people are really pondering that and thinking about that. But the, you know, the biggest thing is just to stay alert. And I would really encourage people as well to, remember, if you're old enough to remember that, you know, on 9/12/01, what that was like. Mm-hmm. Remember how you felt about your first responders, your law enforcement officers, your firefighters, all of that. And again, take an extra second to smile at that cop in the coffee shop or wave at that patrol officer that's driving by your house. You know, because this is a time, again, we're going to have a lot of tired cops out there.
Yeah.
And they're already beleaguered. And this is a time that we, there's always good things that come out of horrible things. One of the things is this is a time for people to try really hard to lift up their law enforcement. You know, in American law enforcement, our hearts are broken for our brothers and sisters in Israel. You know, the body count of course, citizens keeps rising. So does it of their law enforcement officers. Police departments were attacked. And, you know, we just had in Bristol, Connecticut the other day, we had a woman walk right in with a pistol and start shooting at the cops. That, you know, fortunately there was bulletproof glass and she was taken into custody. But that's another thing. We're not just trying to keep our citizens safe. We're trying to keep ourselves safe as well. So it's going to be a long weekend and this isn't going to end anytime soon.
Well, it's so true. And I keep saying that if you see something, say something. And it's so important because a lot of people want to be, quote unquote, polite, or they feel like, you know, my neighbor, you know, maybe there's something going on. We had something like that in Philadelphia. Actually, turned out it was a teenager who had, I don't know, somehow online was being recruited, reportedly by a terrorist group. It was they were identified. And they've kind of gone silent on it. It was within the last month or so. But this was a 17-year-old and who was sort of activated in a Muslim, like, terrorist cell, reportedly, and associated with the Middle East. And the FBI is being mum about it. But I think that to the point of, you know, those neighbors, if you see something, anything that's suspicious, you know, go ahead, call out of concern. And let them check it out, especially if it's a minor. They still haven't officially released the name of this individual locally. And so I think people, it's not a time to be polite. You don't want to go online and accuse or convict somebody. But I just always make the point, Betsy, when somebody calls in or emails in, whether it's the FBI or the locals, police, they're not going to broadcast that, correct? They're going to quietly, they're going to investigate it.
Exactly. Nobody's going to, you know, give your name to the, you know, oh, Sally Smith called in and thought this guy was a jihadist. That's not how it works. But people need to be comfortable doing that. And you know what? And it's just exactly what you said, Dawn. We tend to be pretty polite, you know, and we've seen this time and time and time and time again with, you know, attacks in the United States, you know, where it's been activated individuals, where all the neighbors after the attack said, oh, yeah, you know, I saw him bringing, like, what I thought could be bomb making materials and guns into the house. But I don't want to be racist. And that's one of the biggest things, because people, you know, you're told, don't be an Islamophobe. We're hearing that again, right? Don't be an Islamophobe.
So true.
We have got to call out suspicious activity and stop worrying about Am I going to be an Islamophobe? Am I going to be racist? And we also have to attack head on the anti-Semitism that we are seeing. It's up to all of us, you know, whether you're Jewish, Christian, Muslim, you don't practice any religion. Anti-Semitic language and activity is bad. We've all got to go remember the Holocaust.
Yeah.
Now we've got to look at the Israeli war. And we have got to, call this out. And getting back to law enforcement officers, we don't care what your religion is.
Right.
We don't care what the color of your skin is. We want to protect the innocent and the vulnerable. And we want to hunt down the evil. Yeah. And we have been reminded, again, how evil humans can be.
It's truly putting things in perspective, Betsy.
Yeah,
I thank you. I'm up against a tough break. Betsy Brantner-Smith, National Police Association, thank you so much for joining us. Until next time.